Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And I am so thrilled to have back with us Father Felix Joost, who is a renowned biblical scholar, Jesuit, and a good friend. And great to have you back on the show.
Hi, Steve. Great to be back with you again.
Now, in going through various teachings by you, and thank you for your patience in working with me.
I know sometimes, it was a pleasure.
I know sometimes it's difficult. But one of the things that is profoundly Jesuit is really the way, the degree, I suppose, would be the best way of saying it, that discernment plays such an important role in Ignatian spirituality. Do I have that right? Would that be a fair statement?
Sure. Discernment is a very, very important, not just word, but the whole concept. And yet it covers several different things. Discernment is, first of all, it's not just Jesuit. It's biblical already. It's Christian. So everybody does discernment, or should be, although St. Ignatius and the Jesuit order has got certain techniques and certain suggestions for how to do discernment well. You already in the Bible find talk about discerning or understanding or making good decisions, you know. So let me just begin by saying that there's two real big broad categories of under discernment. One would be called discernment of spirits. In other words, understanding the difference between the movements of good and evil in our lives, whether you think of the angels and demons sitting on your shoulder, you know, whispering, trying to get you to do something, you know, or however it is that we look at what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's, we should be doing and what we should be avoiding. That's the discernment of spirits. And then on the other hand, there's the discernment of God's will. Assuming that we want to do the good, what is it that God wants us to do? How do we discern not just the trivial questions of, hey, should I have chocolate ice cream or strawberry ice cream, but what kind of a career, or who should I marry, or where should I live, or what are the big decisions in my life? How can we carefully discern how we can do God's will in our lives?
Our brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. This is another show to please call up your friends or text them. Let them know to tune in to the station that you're listening to, because this is such an important issue. I travel many places throughout the country and even the world, and so many people come up to me with questions as to, how do I know God's will? How do I know what job to take? How do I know who I should marry? How do I know what God wants from me in ministry? I mean, that's a whole area that we're going to cover. But the other area, too, is how do I know if it's my thought? How do I know if it's an evil thought? How do I know if it's from the Lord, in terms of understanding that discernment of spirits from that end of it? And as you take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, 5, it says there's different forms of service, but the same Lord. And also the different kinds of spiritual gifts for the same Spirit. And on verse 10, it talks about, after naming a number of different spiritual gifts, it talks about discernment of spirits. Let's look at the word discernment itself. And, you know, what exactly does that mean when we say discernment?
It's a very interesting and complicated word. Some people just throw it around as if it means nothing but decision making. Oh, you know, let's discern and just make a quick decision. No, discernment really should be a very slow, gradual, careful, and prayerful method of decision making. You know, so we make a good discernment when we carefully and prayerfully bring to God our questions about what's right, what's wrong, and what should we do in our lives. Now, the question of right and wrong, that might be easier to do. That's the discernment of spirits we were talking about earlier. But the discerning God's will should be a very prayerful and careful process that we go about, because the whole topic of God's will is so difficult. It's not just as if God has a blueprint and we have to figure out, oh, this is the one decision God wants me to make, and if I find the right decision, I do God's will correctly, and anything else I decide is wrong. No, it's more like, how can I best use all the talents, all the abilities, all the relationships, everything that God gives me in my whole life to give praise and glory and honor and love of God in my life? How best to do that with what God has given me? What should I do?
There are certain things that pop in your mind. Well, I think I should go to Africa, or I should sell everything I have and give to the poor, or I think I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to quit my job today. You know, you're angry about something or whatever. You know, there is this, in a sense, this war going on in your mind. How do we know, again, when these thoughts pop in our mind, where they're coming from?
Well, the one thing I could say in response to that is, if you're going to be tempted to make a snap decision that might not be coming from the good spirit or from God's spirit, that might be what we would call an influence of the evil spirit or a temptation that we should resist. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't quit your job, because maybe the situation is such that you do need a change, or maybe the situation is that it's not the best place where God wants you to be. And yet, snap decisions are almost never right. We should discern carefully, in the sense of taking all the data, all the experiences, reflecting on them on a daily basis, and see where are they pointing us. Because sometimes snap decisions end up, you know, we jump off a cliff, in a sense, that make the wrong decision, whereas maybe sometimes God wants us to persevere through some difficult times. And so paying attention to all our experiences, all the thoughts and feelings and emotions and movements within the heart, so to speak, is important. And in the final analysis, you have to realize it's God's spirit living within you, we would say as Christians, as St. Paul says. And so if something gives us the kind of fruits of the spirit, then that is something that leads us towards God. In other words, anything that gives us the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're smiling because I know you know this is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, what St. Paul defines as the fruits of the Spirit. Now, ultimately, whatever leads in that direction with those virtuous qualities, especially the first three maybe, huh? Love, joy, and peace, that is something that probably comes from God and may lead to God. Whereas anything that leads in the opposite direction, things that rile us up, or things that make us, you know, want revenge and hatred and anger, you know, that might not be coming from God.
My brothers and sisters, this is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, with Father Felix Hust, talking about discernment. And we're talking about discernment of spirits. And so many times I see people get so emotional. Something happens, something triggers. They get, well, I'm quitting. I'm quitting this ministry, I'm quitting this job, I'm leaving this, I'm leaving my husband, I'm leaving my wife, whatever it is. And they get, think about the various emotions that happen, hostility, animosity, hatred, all those things are not emotions coming from the Lord, you know, as it relates to just that hatred, that peace. As Father Felix mentioned, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, when we have greater peace, when we have greater joy, then that's a good litmus test to know that after prayer, that we're on the right track, and that direction that God is really leading you on, take a listen to that and really discern that. And there are times, too, that people can sometimes, without even realizing it, can confirm that. You know, that in listening to other people. Sometimes you can even be listening to a homily, and a priest or a deacon may say something in the homily that you know just God is talking to you.
Absolutely. The process of discernment really should involve a variety of different data or criteria. You were just talking about emotions. We were earlier talking, though, about rational thinking decisions as well, and just now you mentioned other people. So we should pay attention to all of that. We should pay attention to what we are experiencing outside, but also what we are experiencing inside, in a sense of how it's moving our hearts. We should be paying attention to what other people are saying, not to do everything other people want us to do, but to really take that as into consideration, whether they say something challenging or say something affirming. We should pay attention not only to our emotions, but also to our rational thoughts, and all of that together, you know, hopefully, it, if done well, then can lead us to the right decision if it is a big change in our life when it comes to family life or careers or where we live, things like that. But to avoid the snap decisions based on just one factor, like, you know, the one emotion that came up or one thing that somebody said to you or whatever.
One of the things that is so important is to understand that after you do pray, after you feel confident that you know that you know that you know, don't let other things get in the way. Look at Jesus with the first pope, Peter, right? Jesus knew from the Father that he was to go into Jerusalem. And what is it that Peter said? Peter said, oh, you know, maybe it's not a good idea for you to go there. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan.
Whenever we think we know better than God, then yes, we are that obstacle, that Satan that should be behind Jesus instead of blocking Jesus's path. You know, so if we are opposing God's will, then yeah, we become a stumbling block, or that Satanas, that Satan kind of element in our life means opposing God. Whereas if we're trying to do God's will, then it means following Jesus. And that doesn't mean everything is always easy. Sometimes it means take up your cross and follow him. Sometimes it means persevere in suffering. Sometimes it means face difficult situations like dying, as we all eventually have to do. But to face all of those difficult situations in life with the kind of interior peace and love and even joy, knowing that we are loved by a God who will not abandon us despite those difficult circumstances. So discerning God's will doesn't mean everything is always going to be easy and beautiful and warm and light. You know, it might mean difficulties in life, sufferings in our lives, and yet God's presence with us assures us that we are on the right track still.
We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the Tower of Hope, and we're so excited to have back with us Father Felix Joost to talk about discernment of God's will. And Father is renowned biblical scholar, Jesuit, and discernment, which so many people struggle with. How do I know if this is God's will? How do I know if it's my will? Is it the enemy trying to prevent me from doing something? And when you feel like, okay, God is calling you to do something, why is it important not to make a snap decision? I'm going to quit today, my job. You know, there needs to be a period of time of reflection and confirmation. Is that true?
The process of discernment certainly takes time if you are going to do it well and do it prayerfully. As I was saying before, we need to pay attention to the feelings and emotions that we feel day to day as we're going through a job or entering into a relationship. You know, you don't like fall in love with somebody head over heels and then run off to the justice of the peace and get married, you know, elope right away that same day. No, there needs to be a period of courtship, of dating, of getting to know the person. And as you're doing that, you're not only getting to know the person, know things about them and learning about them, you know, with your mind, but you're also paying attention to your emotions, how you feel when you're with that person. Do you feel not just the love, but the peace and the joy and other kind of good qualities, the fruits of the Spirit, so to speak. But then even if you were to, after a period of time, decide, you know, I want to marry that person, then again, you shouldn't just rush off to the courthouse and get married. We have what we call the engagement period. You say, you know, let's get married. Let's make that decision to spend our lives with each other forever. And yet there's still the period of confirmation. After making that decision, you don't actually implement it right away. You prepare, you plan, you know you want to go in that direction. And if all still seems to be going well, then eventually you get to your wedding day. But maybe during that period of engagement of a couple, you know, they come to realize, wait a minute, this maybe isn't the right decision for us. Maybe we should break off the engagement because maybe we're not supposed to be together. And the same could be said for any other major decisions in life. So if you feel like you have to quit your job, no, don't just quit right now. You know, pay attention for a couple of days or weeks. What's going on? You know, how are your relationships? How's your workload? What's going on in the whole workplace and in your task, what you're assigned to do. And if it's just going from bad to worse and you really think, no, I can't take this anymore, you know, don't just make that snap decision, but you talk to your wife or husband or family or closest friends. You talk to God in prayer about it. And even after you've made that decision that says, okay, yes, I'm going to quit, or maybe, yes, I'm going to stay, you then act on it. You don't act on it immediately. You just like give it some more time to confirm, would this be the right decision? So, you know, don't just sort of spontaneously write that letter of resignation to your boss, but say, okay, if I feel like I really have to quit, give it some time. Let that decision be confirmed. We would say sleep on it, huh? But maybe not just overnight, but give it a week or two before you act on the decision to see if maybe, you know, that decision is confirmed and then you do, you know, carry out the decision you've made, or whether maybe you realize it was a snap decision that would lead you in a wrong direction.
But sometimes we may have to make a difficult decision in order to do what God is calling us to do.
Certainly. And we're not talking about the kind of decisions that have to be made sometimes very quickly. You know, if the house is burning, get out, you know, right away. Don't think about, okay, I have to pray and discern for several days or weeks about should I get out of the burning house. No, in real life, sometimes we have to make snap decisions. We have to act immediately. We have to take care of situations. You know, yeah. What we're talking about, though, with the word discernment is these bigger kind of long range important decisions in life relating to family, relating to jobs, relating to where you're going to live. What does God really want you to do with your life as a whole? Not just, you know, what am I going to have for dinner tonight, or what? How do I respond to some crisis where somebody needs my help?
So I have a case study I want to bounce off you.
Okay.
My case study was one that actually happened, where I felt very strongly through prayer and through actually a dream and all kinds of different ways that God was calling me to go to the Philippines. And this was something that was very unusual for me, because I had no desire to go to the Philippines. I had, you know, nothing in my background to indicate that. So I kept praying about it. I kept asking other people about it, and months went by. And about 6 months later, I get a phone call from someone who said, we as a team have been praying for months about who to invite to go to the Philippines, and God gave us your name to invite along with a priest to go to the Philippines on this mission. Well, as it so happened, I had just gotten back from a pilgrimage to Europe, and so I had a few days left of vacation, but not enough. So I went to my boss and said, this is really important, and unfortunately, the timing wasn't perfect. It was only a couple weeks after I was getting back from Europe, and it was like a 16-day trip. And so it was a problem in which I'd have to, you know, actually pay for a few extra days myself. Well, my boss said no. And so I kept praying, well, Lord, what does this mean? And on five different occasions, my boss said, no, I can't allow you to do it for this reason or that reason. But I felt so strongly that God had called me to do this. I went to the vice president of human resources. That person said, well, there's nothing I can do. But he was so upset, he went to his pastor. His pastor said to him, well, this is something you really need to pray about. He had a dream that night where he felt God come to him saying, you don't know what I have in store for Steve. You better let him go. He came back. He was shook up the next day, went to the CEO, and they let me go.
Uh-huh.
But I was prepared and actually had said to them that I was going to resign and give up my stock options and all that stuff, because I felt so sure that God wanted me to do that. Any comments on that?
Well, everything you said at the beginning seemed that you were doing a very careful discernment. You mentioned prayer. You mentioned taking time. You mentioned talking to other people. You mentioned having even confirmations through dreams, and then the counter, you know, invitation from the other people. So in that case, it really does sound to me as if maybe it was God's will that you do that. And yet, in order to implement the decision, you had to overcome an obstacle. So you didn't just take your no from the boss as a, oh, well, I can't do it after all, because everything else seemed to be leading in the direction that said you should go on this trip. You had to overcome the obstacle that may take some time. You didn't want to make a snap decision and say, oh, I'm just going to quit. But you kept trying to get the permission that you needed in order to be able to do that. But, you know, this whole case study also brings up a very, very important point I wanted to make earlier, namely that when you make a decision, a careful decision after prayer and discernment and all that, right? Anytime you come to the point of making a decision, you know, that cuts off the other options. The word decision itself, you know, comes from the Latin, which means cutting off. So if you choose to marry a particular person, that means you're not going to marry a whole bunch of other potential people that you might have, huh? If you choose to go on that trip to the Philippines, that means you could not at the same time take another option, namely going to Africa or staying at home and going to work or going off to somebody else's wedding or whatever. You know, you make a decision to do one thing, cuts off the possibilities of doing many other things. Now, it doesn't mean that's the one and only thing you're doing, because you're doing this only for a week or two and then you come back and maybe you could take that trip to Africa sometime later. But the point is, making a decision for one thing also means you say no to a whole bunch of other potential options that you could have done as well.
But when we do make that final decision too, it isn't necessarily easy. And God sometimes will allow some challenges, I believe, because he's building us up in holiness. He's basically saying, it's like John 21, you know, how much do you love? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than almost anything? Because I really believe that sometimes it's meant to be hard. It's meant to be difficult.
It might be difficult still in the sense of the thing that God wants you to do won't always be easy, as we said before. But if you're doing the right thing, if you're doing God's will, then there should still be that interior, deep down sort of sense of peace and joy and love, that you know you're connected with God, you know you're carrying out God's will. But you also need to be careful, once a decision is made, not to be so stubborn to not be able to modify that or to change it afterwards, because, as we said before, maybe circumstances will change, and as you've made a decision, then you need to carefully look at, is it the right decision after all? Or if the decision was to go to the Philippines, well, maybe I overdid it by thinking, well, I'm going to go for 5 months, and maybe really the best thing would have only been for a week or two, you know? So making one decision always also opens up the continuing process of reconfirming almost every day. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, when you're with a job or with a marriage, it's like, oh, do I want to still be married with you today and then, you know, getting to a quick divorce or quitting your job every other month or something. No. Once you make a major decision, then you make that commitment to keep going in that direction for the most part, but that direction might need a little bit of adjusting here and there to, so that you stay on course. Otherwise, if you think you're doing the right thing and you remain too rigid about it, you might eventually veer off course.
We're going to talk when we come back from the break more about how do we have this ongoing prayer so that when we have made a decision, we can know how to modify and how to tweak, in a sense, that discernment, that what's happened. But I will close this segment by just saying that there was tremendous fruits that came out of that trip to the Philippines. I actually ended up taking a second trip, and God willing, and playing a third trip, in which we're now working with orphanages and schools and all kinds of things, and working with the poor and all kinds of evangelization efforts and so forth. So it was really, there was no doubt in my mind, as I look back, there was no doubt in my mind that that was the Lord saying to me that he wanted me to go there. So
that really sounds wonderful.
We'll be right back. We're on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're going to talk more about discernment of God's will. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with one of my favorite people. And this is Father Felix Joost, who is a biblical scholar, Jesuit. And we're talking about discernment of God's will, and how difficult it is at times to know what it is that God is calling us to do. We often hear this in ministries where people will come to me and say, should I do this ministry or that ministry? And I guess the very first thing that I often will say is certainly pray about it, discern, but follow where your passion is. Follow what God has given you in your heart. Your thoughts on that?
paying attention to your deepest desires is one of the most important factors in the whole process of discernment we were talking about. Rational decisions are important too, and advice from other people or how they react to your ideas are important factors to consider. But the most important thing, I think, really would be the desires of your heart and the deepest desires, not just, oh, what do I feel like doing today? But what do you really like? You know, imagine yourself at the end of your life. How would you want people to remember you? How would you want to look back on your life and say, this is what I was able to do, not just, you know, to accomplish in the sense of getting the biggest bank accounts, but rather, how will people remember me for what kind of a person I was?
Yeah, and it's so important to really understand that God is constantly knocking, constantly asking us and whispering our ear and asking us to follow him and asking us to get closer to him. And we can't do everything. Sometimes people are frustrated because they hear that other people are feeding the poor, the homeless, they're doing all these things. But God calls us to do certain things. No, we're not supposed to do everything. We can't have time to do everything.
Certainly. None of us can do everything, and that's why it takes the whole community, we call the church. And as a church, we need to do everything in the sense of doing the evangelization and the teaching and the social service. And not every single one of us can be involved in all of those aspects. And that's why, as St. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, there's one spirit and one body, and yet many different parts, many different manifestations of the spirit. Some of us are more teachers. Some of us are more healthcare givers. Others are more directly involved in caring for the poor. Others are administering the church, or others are building things. You know, it's all the different careers, all the different ministries even within the church are all necessary. But as a community, we need to do the ministry of God in the whole world, but not every single individual can. And that goes back to that whole question of discernment we were talking about. As I said at the very beginning, many people misunderstand thinking God's will is some sort of a blueprint, right? You know, Steve, God wanted you to be a doctor, but instead, you know, you went into a business and you're a radio host and you're a Catholic deacon and all of that. Many people might think is good, but it simply wasn't God's will. You blew it because God wanted you to be a medical doctor, period. You know, that's a really old fashioned and I would say wrong understanding of God's will. Rather, what we should look at is to say, look, what has God given you? What has God gifted each one of us with? What sort of talents and abilities and intelligences and experiences and families and possessions and everything? And then how does God want you to use those things? Not just your possessions and your time, but especially your talents and your personality and who you are. And how can you live in a way not just, you know, to make yourself comfortable and happy, but to be of loving service to other people?
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit with Father Felix Joost, who is a Jesuit and biblical scholar. We're talking about Ignatian discernment and discernment in general. And Father just mentioned one of many things that are incredibly important, but it's using the gifts that God has given you. And so many times people will say, well, I have no talent. I have no gifts. And I'll ask a question like, well, didn't you just have a big dinner party last Saturday night? Didn't you invite a whole lot of people? Don't you enjoy entertaining? Don't you enjoy hospitality? Well, the gift of hospitality is a gift, is a charism. And as you look at other people are in human resources and they have the gift of teaching other people how to find jobs, for example, or the gift of teaching, as you mentioned, or so many other things of persuasion, communication, of written skills, and on and on and on and on. So many people don't look at themselves in the inventory of what they've done to say, how can I help build up the church by the skills and gifts that God has given me in my hobbies, my jobs, my schoolwork, or whatever it might be? There are certain skill sets that we develop that can be used to build up the body of Christ.
You're absolutely right, and that's related to one of the greatest temptations that we often face is comparing ourselves to others, thinking, oh gosh, I wish I could be just as good as that person is in whatever they're doing, you know. So I'm jealous that I can't be as good of a tennis player as the great stars, or that I can't be a musician, or that I can't be whatever it is. It's like, no, we don't have to be like everybody else. We don't have to do things as well as other people can. And in fact, we all have so many different talents. That's why the whole image of the body, as Paul keeps referring in several of his letters, is so important, that some of us have different talents to use in different ways, but nobody can do everything, and so we shouldn't worry that we can't do exactly what somebody else does. It's not all only about rational intelligence and teaching and speaking, as you and I as teachers might enjoy doing more, but yeah, you mentioned the gifts of hospitality, or the gifts of art, of beauty, the gifts of service, so many things that are necessary for the entire church, or the entire human family for that matter. Everybody should, as you said, look at themselves interiorly. What are your passions? What are your desires? What are your abilities? And how can you contribute in the way that God wants you to contribute, rather than worrying about, oh, I can't be just as something as someone else?
As you look at Psalm 37:4, find your delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. So when we delight in the Lord, when we focus on the Lord, and we focus on what he has done for us, use that as a way of almost like sweet incense into the Lord. It's a gift offering, in a sense, to the Lord, you know, to use our talents.
And it's a confirmation that we are doing the right thing, or doing God's will, when we find that sort of joy coming by making good use of our talents and our time and our abilities for not just selfish means, purposes, but for service of others especially. We can find such great satisfaction because we know we're giving praise to God by serving and loving other people.
It's interesting. I'm giving a talk to the young Catholic professionals who are business people, and I have spent a career teaching other people about development and of their skills and so forth, and management skills, and so I'm using the things I did in the commercial world to help Catholics, you know, achieve the goals that they're looking for. And that's I think a good example of looking, you're having a self inventory about what skills and gifts God has given you, and say, okay, now how can I help other people with those skills and gifts?
And it may not always be up to your own choice, but if you're looking for a career, well, sometimes there may not be jobs available in your intended career. College students find that when they graduate, you know, somebody who was a engineering major may not be able to find a job in the field that he was trained for. And yet he may then need to look inside and see, well, how can I best apply all that I've learned, all the talents that I have, all the abilities that I have, and not just go and throw it all away and do whatever I want, you know, on a desert island, but rather maybe modify it or apply it in a slightly different, more creative way. So again, the point is not to be so rigid thinking, oh, this is the one and only thing that I want to do, or the one and only thing that God wants me to do. No, sometimes we have to modify what we can do based on the actual circumstances of jobs available, or how much money we have, or how much more training we could take, and constantly continuing the process of prayer, so that we ask ourselves each and every day, am I on the right path? Should I continue here, or do I need a bit of a modification to apply my talents and abilities even better? When we do so rightly, though, as you said, it does give us great joy and a sense of interior peace.
But it is so important, as you mentioned, that contemplative prayer, or that holy hour of getting before the Lord and having him really confirm, speak, bless, and love us in that period of prayer.
And really looking at the details of our lives concretely. That's where the Ignatian prayer of the Examen, as you were referring to earlier, will help us daily look at what's going on in our lives. How have I responded well to God's invitation? How have I maybe not responded so well, or ignored God's invitation? How have I maybe in some times of this past day or week been very selfish or lazy, or just not done any good with the talents and abilities God has given me? Or where have I responded by saying yes in love and in service and in finding great joy in applying the talents and abilities God gives me? And I know I'm talking a little bit in general, because everybody needs to apply that for your own life in your own circumstances, but where are you finding God leading you to joy, peace, and fulfillment, or where are you finding yourself falling back into anger or laziness or selfishness or the other kind of vices that we are tempted by?
I do want to ask a question because I find it so fascinating, and that is the whole formation period to be a Jesuit priest, because it is somewhat unique in terms of the length of time, I believe, right?
Yeah, we tend to have the longest formation. Sometimes people think because we're slow learners, but...
And how long is that formation?
Gosh, 10, 11, 12, 13 years, depending on whether you have finished college degrees or how much extra studies you do in the middle before you're ordained as a priest, yeah.
But what, I mean, it's so amazing to me. I don't know if you knew that or not, but, you know, I'm talking to Michael here, my producer, and so many people are not aware of the fact that the Jesuit formation involves so much examination. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to be back to talk about the examine and just examination of conscience for us on a daily basis and how that ties into just discerning our lives. We'll be right back on Empowered by the Spirit. Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're back again talking about discernment of God's will. And for so many people, they see things in black and white, and often we have shades of gray. Certainly there are, sin can be certainly black and white, but in terms of judgments and how we look upon things, your thoughts on that?
Well, when you talk about black and white, you know, certain things are certainly sinful. Yes, that's a black and white. But when we talk about people or overall situations, right, there's the big difficulty. I think too many people fall into the black or white or right or wrong kind of mentality, thinking I'm all right, you're all wrong, or my group is all right, whether we're talking about my religious group or my political group or my social group, or, you know, we are all right and you are all wrong. And we have to say, wait, no, because there is good in every single person, and every single person is also tempted by evil. And so that's why the discernment of spirits, which is slightly different from what we were talking about earlier, the discernment of God's will, the discernment of spirits is a very important aspect of discernment as well. When are we being influenced by God and the good spirits to do the good, loving, peaceful, joyful thing? Or when are we being tempted by the demons, if you want to personalize them, or evil spirits or evil inclinations in general, to do the selfish or the harmful or the hateful things? And every single one of us is tempted in that way every single day of our lives, to be selfish and to be just focused on the things that are not of God, just as we are also then attracted by God with the influence of the good spirit to do the right thing. And so that's where the discernment of spirits, knowing what is good versus what is evil, is not just deciding who's good, us, versus who's evil, the other people out there, you know. We tend in this country especially to think of, you know, the criminals, you know, let's lock all the criminals away and then only the good people will be living on the streets. It's like, wait a minute. People who are in jail may have done something really wrong and may deserve some punishment in our societal system, and yet they are still good people in their core of being loved by God. And us who are not in jail right now are also good people overall, and yet we are tempted every single day. We maybe don't recognize how much we fall into sin by being selfish and focusing too much on our own power, our own pleasure, our own possessions, and not taking care of others. You know, what we used to call the sins of omission are probably just as bad, if not worse, than the sins of commission. People who are in jail because they did some of the bigger sins of commission, you know, the things they did wrong, stealing or murder or whatever, obvious to all of us. And yet, what about the rest of us? Are we guilty of sins of omission when we don't take care of the poor and don't take care of the needy the way God wants us to?
Psychologists have often said that we make up around 2,000 decisions every single day. And in those decisions, we can move towards God, which I believe is consolation, or yes, move away from God, which is desolation. Tell us more about that.
We don't make huge decisions every day, other than to continue with the main major decisions of life we've done before. But yeah, we do make even the smaller decisions. Say, what am I going to have to eat for the three meals or snacks during the day? What am I going to have? Am I going to have dessert or not? You know, that's a small decision, and yet you wouldn't think it's such a big thing. It doesn't affect us. Well, yes, it does. It's not just one decision in isolation, but if I really want to avoid desserts so that I can continue losing some weight, which I'm really glad that I've been able to do the last couple of months, you know, then I have to make that decision every single time. It doesn't require huge discernment, of course, as we said before, but even the smaller decisions have to be in line with my overall goals. If I really want to lose some weight and watch what I'm going to be eating, then I have to do that every single meal carefully, not to be overly rigid about it, of course, but all the little decisions in our lives can either lead us towards our goals or away from our goals. And as Christians, of course, our main goal should be to live with God and according to God's will, or to be selfish and to fall into the vices that lead us away from God.
Tell us about examination of conscience, because I think it's such an important spiritual tool for us in terms of our road for holiness.
So here again, there's two different things that are very, very closely related and yet slightly different. What most people can think of as an examination of conscience before you go to confession is thinking about all the things you did wrong, where are all the sins that you should confess, and to do a good examination of conscience will lead to a good confession to say, I want to avoid these sins and live a life better, closer, holier to God. That's related, but not quite the same as what in Ignatian terminology we call the examen, or examination of consciousness. Sometimes it's referred to differently, because the point of the examen prayer would be to look at everything going on in your life on a daily basis, hopefully, and not only looking at what was sinful, but what was also good. Where did you not only maybe resist the call of God and fall into evil temptations, but where did you recognize God's invitation and respond positively? That will then help you to discern on a regular basis where God is leading you, what you should maybe more regularly avoid, all the vices that St. Paul talks about in the scriptures, and how you can lead more of your life in the right path of the virtues, as St. Paul will talk about. So looking at not just, uh-oh, I'm such a bad person, I've committed all these sins, I got to go to confession, that's only half the picture. The other half of the picture is, how am I responding well to God? How am I recognizing God? And so now, you remember the old Indian story, I believe it is, Native American story about the wolf or the dog, you know, which one grows better? Well, it depends on the one you feed, right? Yes. If we constantly are giving in to our temptations and ignoring the invitation to do good, then we're feeding the vices, so to speak. But in order to avoid the vices, we also have to really focus on the virtues. In other words, try to focus on where you are doing well with God and responding more and more to the invitation of God in your life will help you to overcome the temptations and the vices on the other side.
But it's so important, from my perspective, and certainly what you've taught me, to have that examine, perhaps in the evening would be a good time. I mean, it could be first thing in the morning as you reflect upon the previous day. But if you look at the evening and you look at the good moving towards God and the times when we didn't move towards God, and to pray about it and to be honest in our prayer time with God, to say, hey, I'm weak in this area. I need your grace. I need your help, but I trust in you and believe in you.
And the process of the examine prayer, as you were mentioning, is one which is explained in a slightly different way in different Jesuit publications or other spirituality guides. So we don't have to be rigid about exact five steps. But overall, the idea involves first asking for God's grace, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, thanking God for all that God gives us, including our lives themselves, you know, just being alive is a gift from God. So saying thank you to God and consciously inviting God's Spirit to help me look at my life, at my day, whether it's the past day or in the evening, in the morning, at noontime, whenever, it doesn't really matter, but preferably do it often, do it every day if you can, to ask God with the gift of the Holy Spirit to look at your day, to both recognize where did you maybe give in to temptations and fall into vice, and to ask for God's forgiveness for those times, His grace and mercy that he always wants to offer us, and then to recognize where did we maybe respond well to an invitation to help someone out, or to say a nice word, or to do something good, or to really make good use of the talents and abilities God has given us. And then at the very end of that, to then look forward to the next period, the next day, and to say, okay, God, give me the grace now to help better avoid those, you know, temptations that I fall into sometimes, and to continue to doing well for the coming day.
Would you agree that the more that we do that, the closer we get to God and the better discernment overall that we make?
Yes, because we're looking at the concrete realities of our lives rather than just kind of praying with vague abstractions. All of us can pray to say, I want to be a better person, I want to avoid sin. You know, we can all say that, and that's true, but it's so vague, it's so general. No, if we look at our specific temptations, our specific sins, and say, God, please help me to avoid these, that's the examination of conscience that we were sort of talking about, preparation for confession. And on the other hand, then to say, wow, here's a way that I was able to respond to God. Well, here are the good things I did in working with other people, or in giving them encouragement, or in showing them love. And these are things that I want to foster in my life and to do just as well, even better in the coming days.
God has called us for holiness. God has called us to be closer and closer and closer to Him. And to give people encouragement, it is a journey, right, Father?
Absolutely. None of us are perfect, and yet we can continue on that journey to try to do God's will.
It's not a set point in time, my brothers and sisters. So forgive yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm not too hard on me, am I?
Some people don't like that phrase, forgive yourself, but I think what it really means is accept the forgiveness that God is offering you.
Yes.
You know, we need to forgive one another. Yes, that's important. I need to forgive you. You need to forgive me. We need to accept when somebody says, I'm sorry, to say, all right, I'll forgive you. But to recognize that with God, it's not a negotiation. God always wants to forgive us. So forgiving yourself, in a sense, really means accepting the forgiveness, really believing that God is going to let it go, put it aside, not hold against us the sins that we've made. I forgive myself in that sense of truly believing and accepting the forgiveness God wants to offer us.
With that in mind, would you mind closing us in prayer with that concept?
So, Heavenly Father, we do praise you for all the good that you do show us and give us in our lives. And we ask for your mercy and forgiveness for any ways in which we may fall short, in which we fall into temptation, vice, and sin. We ask you to continue to build us up in your love so that we may not only love you, but show our love for you in all that we love other people, those closest to us, those in greatest need. And we ask for your Spirit to guide us, to build us up, to strengthen us this day and every day of our lives. We praise you and thank you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. God bless you all, and thank you, Father, and we'll be with you next week at the same time.
Thank you, Steve.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.